I was witnessing to somebody today, and I said, well, what when God said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I said, why do you think the world is condemned? And both of them told me how they felt. I said, do you feel like you're condemned? Oh, no. No, I don't think I'm condemned. I said, well, how would you know and where would you go to find out for sure? If the only Bible in the world was in German, would you learn German so you could know the Bible? Most Americans are too lazy to even read the Bible. America is one of the only countries in the world that does not require three major languages for a high school graduation. We're dumbed down. America is one of the dumbest countries in the world. It used to not be that way. Filipinos learn three. People in India learn three to graduate. This is just to graduate. Most of us can't hardly handle English. It ties me up sometimes, because you can make English hard or difficult, or you can make it easy. But how important is it to having a Bible and knowing what God's will is and God's word is? I said, well, the only place you can go to find out if you're right with God is not the church, is not me. It's got to be God's word. There are people today that said, after I preach, they'll say to me, well, I don't feel like that. I don't feel like there's anything wrong with what you just preached against. I said, why would you feel that way if I gave you chapter and verse? But there, I can give people 20 verses in the Bible and they still say, I don't feel like there's anything wrong with that. Why? Because their authority is not the Bible. And that's where the churches of America are right now. People are determined to do that which is right in their own eyes, and they have no right to do that. That's blasphemy. James tells us there's one lawgiver. Just one. Not the Supreme Court, not the Congress, not the President, not the Baptist preacher, not the Pope. One lawgiver. He's the only one that determines what's right or wrong, good or bad, clean or unclean, for us, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to do it. We're a priesthood to carry out the high priest's orders and directives. But as a priesthood of believer, that just means we're accountable to know what the Bible says and do it. And each man is going to be held personally responsible. Whether the pastor preaches this book or not, the individual Christian is still going to face God for everything that it said. Now, how many times I've heard people say, well, Pastor, I love you, but you're not feeding me. I'm going to have to go someplace else. When I'm going chapter by chapter, verse by verse, going from Genesis to Revelation, I'm preaching everything and anything that the Bible has to deal with, all the doctrines, and I'm not feeding it. What they're really saying is, I'm not hearing what I want to hear. And now there's places that aren't feeding the soul. There's legitimate reasons. I understand all that. But I'm just saying basically, who is and what is your final authority? There must be a Bible. And thank God the Lord has gone before us and He has prepared a book and He has preserved it providentially. It is the Bible. And the truth is, no matter what all the critics say, higher criticism, lower criticism, all the different new versions and perversion people, whatever they do say, are they really reading their Bible? Now, if I was stranded on a desert island, like Gilligan, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, I once was lost, but now I found, was blind, but now I see. No, that's not how that song goes. But if I was on Gilligan's Island and an NIV, New International Version, floated up in a waterproof container and I had no Bible and I found that, I would say, praise God. And I would read it. But I would know that it's a pretty good commentary on the Bible. But I would have problems in my soul saying it is the Bible. But it would have many things in it that are truly the words of God, but not all of them. But they did a U.S. News and World Report. Of the 89% of U.S. adults who own at least one Bible, 89% of the adults 20 years old and upwards in America, 89% of us own a Bible. 67% own a King James Bible. Now, if they're telling us all these new versions are outselling the King James Version, and they are. But again, for every billion King James Bibles that are printed and bought, there's a billion that are printed and given. There's a whole lot of King James Bibles out there all around the world. And but the people that actually own a King James Bible are 67% of the 89% of the adults, which marks its 400th anniversary this year according to Lifeway Research, a Nashville-based Christian research agency. Although there are 24 English language Bibles in many contemporary translations, somewhere around 150. I mean, we're inundated with modern Bibles. And every ministry has their own Bible and has somebody put... And do you understand, for copyright law, you have to have 10,000 deliberate changes in order to get a new copyright in our Bible. 10,000. Now you go back to the original problem, the oldest manuscripts, Vaticanus, Sinaiticus, and P66. Those things disagreed with themselves only 4,000 times. And they disagreed with the King James Bible less than that. But these new Bibles have to disagree with each other to get a copyright twice as much, including the New King James Bible. Before it to get a copyright, it had to disagree with the King James Bible at least 10,000 times. But you can print your King James Bible, if it's the Oxford edition, you can print it freely in your basement and give it to anybody you want to, because it's eminent domain. Now the Cambridge edition, as we said earlier, the Cambridge edition, with its notes and the preface, is all copyrighted under Great Britain, and America does honor that copyright. King James Version reigns even more supreme among those who actually read their Bibles. Of the 89% of the adults that have a Bible, 82% of those who read the good book, the Bible, at least once a month. Now, they didn't say if it's the verse at the bottom of the page of the daily bread or the upper room or whatever daily. Maybe it's that one verse that once a month they read a verse. The Indianapolis Star used to have a daily verse. And, of course, under the headline, the Indianapolis Star, it said, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." When I grew up, I remembered all that. But 82% of those that read the book at least once a month rely on the translation first brought the Scripture to the English-speaking masses worldwide. They're talking about the King James Bible. Age makes a difference. 76% of Bible owners, 55 and older, have a King James, compared to 56% of those under 35. So you have to run the math. According to the survey of 1,004 adults conducted March 6th, this version's now archaic phrasing and vocabulary don't. This is U.S. News and World Report. That's not good English. Now, this version's now archaic phrasing and vocabulary don't seem to be problem casting ye your pearls before swine, as it says in Matthew 7, 6. It doesn't say casting, it says cast ye your pearls before swine. So there's two mistakes in the U.S. News and World Report. She wouldn't make a very good Bible translator. When Lifeway asked about readers' experience with the language dating back to 1611, many called it beautiful, 31%, or easy to remember, 23%. Now, wait a minute. It's so hard to understand, but it's easy to remember. Okay. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. So you're not going to understand it too well until you get born again. But nevertheless, I'm going to finish this article. It is, after all, the book that gave English countless idioms such as salt of the earth, the eye for an eye, or wit's end, and oh ye a little faith. Some called it hard to understand. 27% of the 67% of the 89% that own a King James Bible, 23% of them said it's easy to remember, but it's hard to understand, 27%. Would you know, I've read it and studied it in the original languages, and I've read it, like I said, at least 200 times. There's a lot of things that are hard to understand. I'm still studying it. Like I said, every once in a while I disagree with myself and have a real old-fashioned argument with Michael J. Noperid Thurman. But the Bible's right whether I understand it or not. See, if I could understand everything about it, I'd have to be as smart as God. But He gave us everything we needed to know. And beware of anybody that knows more about anything than the Bible gives them. I'm talking about theologically. I run from people. I don't want to have anything to do with them that know more about demons than the Bible tells us about demons. God gave us everything we need to know. Or 16% of those said, well, it's outdated. It's outdated. Now, what if they updated it? The problem is the Bible is outdated by the culture anyway. The culture doesn't want the Bible. It doesn't fit with their pro-homosexual ideas. It doesn't fit with their worldview. It doesn't fit with their culture and their music. It doesn't fit with their lifestyles. It's outdated. So, of course, the Bible would seem outdated if what the Bible teaches is outdated. About 2 in 10, 20% of those under age 35 reported trouble understanding it, compared with about 3 in 10 of their elders, because it's a strange language. You and I, if you're at least 50 years of age or older, I'm 59. That's to remind some of you to think I was 79. I may look it, but I'm not. In high school, we were still reading the King James Bible. We still had Baptist preachers preaching in the church, in the schools. And my teacher prayed with us, and our literature courses included the King James Bible in Avon High School. 69 is when they made the radical change. So in 1970, my senior year, when I came back, now all of a sudden all the standards were gone, all the dress codes were gone, everything was gone because of the ACLU and some other things like that. And you could no longer have Bible clubs. It took them 5 more years before they could get a Bible club back into Avon, but you could have a witches club. Christians believe that God's Word is truth and that truth is conveyed through language. Thus, translations have always been integral in the spread of Christianity, said Scott McConnell, director of Lifeway Research. It is hard to overstate the influence of the King James Version. He said, Bible readers prefer King James Version. By Kathy Lynn Grossman, USA Today, updated 4/21/2011. Over 1 billion sold on record, over 1 billion freely printed, and many unaccounted. Nobody's counting Berean Bible publishers. Nobody's counting Seedline Internet. Nobody's counting what you do here. But there's churches like this all around the world that are printing the Bibles and nobody's counting them. So the King James Bible is still going out, or this thing would have been done a long time ago. The effects of the King James Version. We find it has affected language. The reason why people are having a hard time understanding the King James Bible as far as its their reading capacity and their normal understanding of words and sentences and grammar is because the contracting of the English language. We use 100 contractions for every one that they did in 1611. Not only is it dumbing down of our learning, but it's contracting in our expressions. We're not nearly as expressive today as they were in 1611. That's why God chose that particular time and culture, and we've already touched on that a little bit. But English did use the present perfect tense. Most people are not even taught in the second year of college the rules of vocabulary. They're not even taught the rules of parsing and verb tenses. And which you have to learn in order to translate other languages, because those kids know what those terms mean. We've contracted our expression. We've condensed down our learning. People want a Bible that reads like a newspaper. Oh, really? Well, people want a Bible that reads like a comic book. Learning. Dumbing down. Well, we've already talked about that. There's a real reason why people can't understand the Bible. Most people don't even read. I find this, you know, I taught college for 16 years. I have had students come in that were homeschooled. I had some that were Christian schooled. I had some that were public schooled. And the successful ones out of each one of those groups were only the ones that could read well. Unless you can read well, and you have advantages being homeschooled because you can be have concentrated effort, but if the parents aren't teaching, and if the Christian school's not demanding, and if the parents aren't supporting, and if you've got a great public school teacher who's trying to teach the kids to read, but they don't read, and they graduate them anyway, or they promote them anyway. A lot of them can't even read their name in boxcar letters, and they're getting high school degrees. So learning, the dumbing down of America, we are way down the line as far as competing with the education of children in the world. My wife is a nanny for two little Hindu girls. They have the best education money can buy. One's 12 years old, and she represents all of Indiana in the national competitions in history. Both of them represent the state of Indiana in music. So what do they have? They don't have a childhood. That's right. That's right. But they go to these high buck schools, and they take Kumon after school. They play, then they do their tennis lessons, and then they do their clarinet lessons, and then they do their piano lessons, and then they get up in the morning and they do their swimming competitions before school, and then they go to take their school. They do their DVD and CD presentations. The 8-year-old is doing first year college math. I mean, it's not that they're geniuses. They are brilliant, but they were started that way. Because the Indian culture is you spend the first 20 years of your life learning everything you can, the next 20 years of your life making all the money you can. And the next 20 years of your life, because 60 years is the life expectancy, teaching all you can, and then later years, all on a philosophical level. But they take their education seriously. America used to. I wouldn't take my child's childhood away from them, like these children have. But if it wasn't for some people in America that do sacrifice like that, China would have swallowed us up a long time ago. Korea already does. America's number 13 as far as world missions. We used to always be number one, but Brazil's ahead of us. South Korea's ahead of us. China, red China, as far as missionary endeavors, is ahead of the United States of America. Pastor and I were talking, we can't even find young men that want to pastor a church that's already established. God's calling a whole lot more people than are surrendering. Law. Our law has become redundant and tyrannical. What's this last health bill they just passed? Nobody read it until after they passed it. We have to pass it so we know what's in it. But they have to have lawyers read it for them. Literature. Most literature today is dealing with pleasures in sin, sinful pleasure, and the other is Christian fiction. I'm not against Christian fiction. I just wish people would read more truthful Christian. Christianity is not a fictitious novel to read. It's an adventurous life to lead. Lifestyle. King James Bible, if you don't have it, lifestyle changes to carnal, worldly, sensual, and casual. Because the King James Bible is anything but casual. Liberty, to libertine, to license, to licentious. Unless you have an authoritative Bible that you believe and practice. Where the King James Bible is received, so the culture and society grows. Where it is rejected, culture and society goes. What happens in churches and homes where the King James Bible is removed? That tells an awful lot. And every one of us here know of situations in people's lives and churches and schools and colleges and seminaries and when at one time they had a King James Bible and they don't have it anymore. They don't use it anymore. It's obvious. What happens to, not just to church, but what happens in education, music, and politics. But the worst case scenario is all of all time is where I go across this country and I'm in only churches that believe the King James Bible. Too much is given, much is required. The most miserable people on this planet are not lost people. They're saved people out of the will of God. King James Bible is literature. Our Bible contains love stories, suspense stories, documentaries, family stories, tragedy, celebration, heroic valor, description, emotion, reason, laws, prophecy, history, intrigue, deliverance, redemption. One book, all in one book. We have Ruth and Esther and Jonah and Job. Dr. Phelps, professor of English literature during 1970 to 77 at Yale University, this is his quote, "Priests, atheists, skeptics, and evangelists are generally agreed that the King James Bible is the best example of English literature that the world has ever seen." That's what, he didn't just quit there. He said, "Everyone who has a thorough knowledge of the Bible, King James Bible, may truly be called educated. No matter how extensive or elegant, can among the Europeans and Americans form a proper substitute, I thoroughly believe in a university education." So do I. But it's not for everybody. But I believe it's for those that are called. But I believe a knowledge of the Bible without a college course is more valuable than a college course without the Bible. That's a lost man that's ahead of Yale University Literature Department. So what is a proper defense of the Bible? I have heard what scholars say about the Bible, and I have read what the Bible says about the Bible. I have chosen to believe the Bible. Dr. Bruce Lackey, my mentor and teacher at Tennessee Temple. And if anybody reads after Dr. David Cloud, he and I were at Temple, and his mentor was Dr. Bruce Lackey also. On Old Timothy, you might see papers and books written by David Cloud. This man was a mighty Bible scholar, mighty man of God, concert pianist, extraordinary Bible translator, common man. My wife loved him. First time I had him come preach a revival for us, he stayed in our home. And my wife was so worried and fretful, and Dr. Bruce Lackey is staying in our home. And so she got up early. She picks the sausage and eggs and biscuits, just setting the table. Everything was just perfect. And he walks in his pajamas and a robe, and sits down at the table, grabs his Bible and says, "Would you like me to read you a few verses?" I told her a couple of jokes. My wife said, "He can just stay here." I could tell you stories on him. I brought him into another church I pastored, and I would make him comments about he was a concert pianist and but he spends all his time pastoring and preaching and teaching college every day of the week. So one of the families invited us over for dinner and Dr. Bruce Lackey got in there. We ate the meal and went into the living room, and there was a piano, and she said, "I wondered if maybe you'd like to play a song. We heard you're good on the piano." My daughter plays some of the big wigs. So. And there's a piece of music on there that my daughter played in a recent recital. And so, well, Dr. Lackey looked at it, you know, and he flipped it open, and I looked at it, and it looked like chicken scratches. I mean, it looked like chickens had walked in ink and walked all over those pages. I couldn't tell whether you breathed or struck a match. I mean, there were so many notes on that page, I just didn't know what to do with it. And I know I can pick out a song on a piano and trumpet and some other harmonica, and especially the comb, and a juice harp. But I looked at that, and Dr. Lackey looked at me, and I looked at Dr. Lackey, and I'm thinking, boy, these people have set him up. I was getting mad. He said, "Well, I tell you what, it's been 5 or 6 years since I've done any real sight reading." I said, "I don't know what that song," but so he kind of picked it out. Picked a little bit out. And within 5 minutes, he played through the song. He said, "All right, let me try it." So he tried it, and that lady that invited us up, she said, "Oh my goodness, that's exactly the way it sounded when my daughter played it. I am amazed." And Dr. Lackey said, "With all due respect, ma'am, if that's how your daughter played it, she played it wrong. This is the way it goes." And he wound it up. She was not playing it according to the right tempo and the right emphasis. And I said, "Way to go, Doc." Of course, when I was pastoring a church, and they brought in a man because on my resume it said I had studied Greek, they brought in a Greek man to ask me questions to make sure that I hadn't lied to him. Brought in a ringer. Okay, brought in brought in somebody to make sure that I was saying what I was able to do, what I said I could. And I had to get a shot in, one all week. And he started asking some questions. He started, well, what's the Greek word for this? What's the Greek word for that? I said, you remember this church? He said, no, I was just invited in here. I said, well, And he said, there's no, I can't help you here, Doc. He said, so I knew more than he did. And I wanted to find out how much he really did know. But never mind. He didn't even know I was quoting three verses of the Bible. So how are we going to defend the Bible? The best way. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Why do we try to reason people or love people or emotionalize people or show affectionately to people, try to win people over to God before we tell them the truth? Why don't we tell them the truth? Why don't we give them the Word of God? Instead of sometimes taking 10 years to establish a testimony with somebody, now maybe they'll believe me and I'll witness to them. Why don't you witness to them? Give them the Bible, because they're not going to come to Christ through your affection, through your reason, through your emotion. They're not going to come to Christ through your lifestyle. They're going to come to Christ when they hear the truth and believe it. And so you're saving yourself a whole lot of time and effort by just giving them the Bible. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, how we give people the Bible is, if the only thing we do is Bible thump, you know, or hit them on the head with the Bible, well, it's worked a couple of times. Especially hardback versions. Matthew 4:4, Jesus, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In the Old Testament, this phrase, thus saith the Lord, is over 430 times. How do you suppose the Old Testament prophets and preachers and priests and the angels of God that said that? How did they think that you're supposed to talk to people and answer people's questions? They said over 430 times in the Old Testament, thus saith the Lord. In the New Testament, this phrase, it is written. The New Testament's 1/20th the size of the Old Testament. All the Old Testament, thus saith the Lord, is 430 times. But this phrase, it is written, is used 600 times just in the New Testament. So that's how we're supposed to do it. Do we have a better way than the Lord Jesus, the apostles, the prophets, and the early church? Just quote the Bible. Show them in the Bible. You want to get somebody saved? Well, why don't you just lean on the Lord now? Get up here and kneel down and lean on the Lord and sing Kumbaya and say, I just feel like something good's going about to happen. Well, just keep singing a song until you feel something and you know you're saved. Do you bring people to the altar and everybody gather around them and pray them through? No, you pray for them until they receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But they will not come to Him until they have heard the words of God. So, he answered Israel, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So if we want somebody to live, they're not going to live outside of the every word of God. So we have to give them the Bible or they're never going to get saved. Jesus said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In Matthew 4:10, then Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Acts 15:15, and to this degree, the words of the prophets, as it is written. That is how the Bible tells us to defend it. We said from the very start, my goal was not to try to defend the King James Bible. We don't have to defend it. We have to present it. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Who dares call him a liar? But people do all the time. People call Jesus a liar every time Jesus says something that's recorded in the Bible and say, "I don't believe that." Who dares call the Apostle Matthew that wrote it a liar? But yet when they attack the Bible, there was a slander and a libel by these new people that have said there's mistakes and Jesus really didn't say that and it shouldn't be that, it should be something else. Well, we have the history that traces this book and these phrases all the way back to the apostles. So if they're gonna do it, they got to put up or shut up. It's either libel or slander. Slander is verbal, libel is written. Okay? Matthew, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Now that's Jesus. That's either truth or a lie. Jesus, what Jesus did and who Jesus is and what he said he was and what he said, either Jesus Christ is God the Son and everything he said was absolute truth, or he's the greatest fraud ever perpetrated upon mankind. There's no middle ground on this. John 12:48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Well, what if those words are not preserved? How could God judge somebody that didn't have the Bible? If he didn't preserve the Bible. Well, what about all these people that never heard the Bible? God has put enough information written indelibly upon the genetic code of man that every man born in this world is without excuse. They know his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. If they would respond to any light at all that is in them, God would give them more light. But the people that are in absolute abject ignorance will go to hell. But their hell won't be as hot as people that leave a Baptist church pew. So it'd be better to be one of those three monkeys: see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, than to know it and not do it. And that's why people get mad at Baptist missionaries who go to foreign countries. We're messing up their little utopia. Yeah, they're going to die and go to hell if we don't. But if we do get the truth to them and they reject it, they have a double condemnation. Double. They're already condemned. But now they're going to be condemned because they've heard about Jesus Christ and rejected Him. People go to hell because they're sinners and they're lost. The only remedy is Jesus Christ. They're not going to hell because they don't believe in Jesus. They're going to hell doubly so if they hear about Jesus and reject Him. "So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." Jeremiah 23:29. "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" So if God tells us all this, use my Bible, use my words, they will work. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. "This word is given so that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." See, as you give people the Bible, it's searching their conscience. It's searching their minds. And you don't even know what it's doing. You don't even have a clue. But if you're just trying to talk them into something, you're just trying to schmooze it over, you're just trying to gain their confidence, you're wasting their time. Give them the Bible when it comes to theology and when it comes to salvation. Give them the Bible. And then say, "Hey, I didn't have such a good reaction to it the first time I heard it either. Let us use the Bible as our offense, not as our defense. But just make sure we don't use it offensively. We're to be obviously Christians, not obnoxiously Christians. Best defense is a good offense. Romans 10:17, I repeat, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You want them to believe what you say? Then you've got to be saying the Word of God. The Word of the King, we've been talking about King James, but how about the greater King? Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, that's who the King is. And that's who gave us the Word of God. He said He's the express image of God's person. Ecclesiastes 8:4, where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? When you give people the Bible, that way they don't have to get mad at you. So, no, I'm just telling you what the king said. I don't have an opinion. Try to have as little opinion as you can. Just say, well, thus saith the Lord. It is written. The Bible says. This is what God says. That way, you're not their enemy. You're not judging them. The Bible is. And that's where we get in trouble. We use the Bible like it's our sword. No, it's the sword of the Spirit. We give it, and the Spirit of God applies it. Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. If God spoke this world into existence, what's He going to have to say for them to disappear? He, by His words, all things consist. He created it by His words, so He's going to have to speak another word. As long as the words are spoken, they're going to stay there. God's word never returns void. It always. So when God said, let there be light, there's going to be light until God says darkness. He's going to have to change. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. He's not going to take it back. Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. He spoke this world into existence. What did He say? Let there be light. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. God said it, and it was done. We have it in here. He tells us what He even said. Well, it had to be a whole lot more complicated than that. Well, when God said, let there be light, He understood all the different ultraviolet lights. He understood all the different kinds of lights. He understood all the different wavelengths. And when God said, let us make man, and He knew all the chromosomes. He knew all the RNA, DNA. He knew all of the genetic codes. He knew how all... And it sounded real simple for Him to say it, but we don't know how He did it. He just did it. I don't know how God preserved this word. I just know He did it. And I know He created this world because He said He did it. And I believe it. And it's here as proof that He did it. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? What a word is this? For with authority and power He commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. So we all believe this Bible. If I'm dealing with a King James Bible, do you know this King James Bible, just like that the old Hebrew Bible in after Manasseh's day during Josiah's revival, it worked? Do you know this Bible offends people? This Bible offends the world. This Bible offends politics. This Bible offends the devil. Where this King James Bible goes, it cleans people up, changes people's minds, changes their lifestyles, changes their thinking, changes their music. Why? Because it's God's Word. I got many verses. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And Jesus arose and rebuked the wind. We had six verses that his words defeated the demons and the devil himself. But now his words sanctify the people of God. But his words also rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. This Bible, you read it, it will calm your soul if you heed it. Matthew said, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, when I speak, I have to use footnotes and I have to give references. I have to quote chapter and verse. When Jesus did it, he didn't need any. He didn't speak like the scribes and scholars and lawyers. Well, case law such as... No, he just said, there was a certain man. There was a certain rich man. There was a certain beggar that laid at the rich man's gate. I mean, he's not making up... He didn't have to make up stories. He was telling truth. Parables are true stories. They're comparisons. He's teaching a truth by comparing a rich man and a poor man. But it's a parable is always true at a truthful event. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye. The word of the king, Titus 1:3, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So you expect a preacher to preach the words of God. Titus 2:15, these things speak, exhort, and rebuke. But always remember, you're just a preacher. No, it says, with all authority. If I'm preaching Bible, you cannot question my authority. Because it's Bible. You can question my application of it. You might even question my interpretation of it. You say, well, I agree with that. I remember Joseph Athiala, one of your missionaries, got him into several churches, many churches, and got him in, and he presented his work and everything. And in one of his messages, he quoted a verse, Romans chapter 8, 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, and all that he called, whatever that is. And the preacher said, well, you're preaching a Calvinistic message. He said, oh, no, sir, I'm not preaching Calvinism. I'm preaching Bible. Just because he used that verse, the guy said he must be a Calvinist. We're not going to support him. I said, he wasn't preaching Calvinism. He was quoting Scripture. Unbelievable. I don't have a Calvinistic bone in my body, but I believe God is sovereign. I believe He has His way in the whirlwind, and I believe He's got everything under control. But I think man's still responsible for his own actions. The word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Speak with all authority. Let no man despise thee. If I'm preaching the Bible, people's feelings are going to get hurt. My feelings are going to get hurt. But it's the word of God. Would you rather die or disobey the Bible? Well, first you got to have a Bible. I know what we read. Who's reading the Bible? 87% of people of America have a Bible. But how many of them actually believe it is the Bible? And how many of them actually believe what it says? If it was wrong 50 years ago, it's still wrong today. I don't care if you changed. I don't care if I changed. There's no neutrality. No neutrality. That's where 90% of Americans live, in a neutral zone. Matthew 7, 8, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Then why is everybody trying to live half in and half out? And on these Bible translators and these new versions, and these two, the Westcott Hort versus the King James, one of them's got to be wrong. Things that are different are not the same. Mickey Carter's got a good book out on that. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. If this is a corrupt Bible, it cannot bring forth good fruit. But what has this produced? What has the new ones produced? Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. He that is not with me is against me. If you go contrary and say contrary to anything this Bible says, you're against Jesus. Me too. I always have more pointing back at me than I got pointing out. I'm far more responsible if I understand 10% of what I'm presenting to you. God's holding me far more accountable for what I'm saying than he's holding you accountable for listening. But he's holding you accountable. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. What should we expect? Close with this. What should we expect if the King James Bible is God's Word? If it really was, how, in your mind, how do you think the enemy would attack it? Propaganda? Corrupt it? Suggest it's not got, doesn't really mean what it says or say what it means? How would you stop an enemy that was coming relentless at you, like Tokyo Rose would brainwash the men and speak to them over loudspeakers in Korea and other countries when our soldiers were being tormented by people? You should feel so sorry for you Americans. You need to just pack up and go home. You are going to die tomorrow morning. You cannot win this war. Christianity has failed. Baptist churches are all. Every pastor is a bad pastor. Every preacher is a bad preacher. And the world will just keep on. If this Bible is the Word of God, how do you think? Do you think Satan would leave it alone? He would try to get everybody he could not to read it. And if they did read it, he would sit and next to them and say, "That doesn't really mean that. It's just the Bible. Just another book. It doesn't have any authority. That preacher can't tell you what to do." How many have heard the voice of the devil before? Two of you. Oh, you were listening to each other. No, that's what I tell my wife all the time. Man, I heard the voice of the devil today. And my wife says, we sure did. How would the enemy attack? How would the enemy attack? Use your senses. Use your skills of mental capacity. Now, how would the Bible stand for 2,000 years if it really was the Bible? And Satan was coming against it. How would it endure? How would it last? How would it not deviate? Could we find it in every generation? Could we find it still working today as it was then? If it really was the Word of God, what would we expect? Well, how would believers think? How would believers think about that Bible? Believers would say, "This is the Word of God. It is written, thus saith the Lord." That's the Word of God. His commandments are not grievous. Whatever says he says, we will do. These are the words of God. This is the word of God. We trust in the God of this word. We believe all that we are. We know we're saved because the Bible says so. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. How would believers think about the Bible? Well, you know, it's got all kinds of problems, and if I can't understand it, I guess we'll just tear it out, you know. Oh, I don't like that verse. Let's tear that. Yeah, we just, I don't like that. Tore it off of my notes. How would the world react against the Bible? How would the worldling react when you give them the Bible? These Bibles you're passing out. If it really wasn't the Bible, and they knew it, and you knew it really wasn't the Bible, it was just a good book, it was just, they would receive it, how? Compared to, this is the Word of God, the King James Bible. This is the God's Word to English-speaking people. Well, I don't know if I want that. Well, this is a book that some people think has some good, nice things in it. It's got some good flowery language, and it's got some good principles and promises. Take what you want and leave the rest. You know, it's just some people's comments and their ideas and their opinions on things. It's just, oh, there's probably a couple of pages in there you'll really like. But how would the Bible work? If it really was God's Word, would it work? Revival, this book's produced it. Salvation, this book's done it. Comfort, I get tickled. I go to funerals and they're up there and the preacher reads the opening statement and he's reading all kinds of verses, and then when he comes down to the 23rd Psalm, he just says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." He's using every other version in the world, but this don't comfort the way the old King James comforts. Motivation, boldness. Which group is bold against sin? People that hold the Bible, King James Version, or people that use the non-inspired version? I mean, or the Johnny-come-lately versions. Well, you know, we don't know that it's actually the words of God, and it has some errors and we've problem, but Jesus really does love you. And I don't want to offend you, and I don't want, you know, don't take this the wrong way, but, oh, just slap me. Starting tomorrow, we're going to quickly look at if this really is the Word of God, and it is, how historically, we've asked those questions on the slide before, how do you think the Bible would stand? What do you think the enemy would do? How do you think the world would react? We're going to see how it did it in the next couple of slides. Father, we love you, ask your blessings, and we pray, God, that you'd